Hey, everyone. Welcome to the House Church Podcast. This is Pastor Jamie here. I'm so glad you decided to join us for today's broadcast. Every time we come together as a church, people encounter God. So my prayer is that you too would experience His presence and hear His voice for yourself. Please enjoy today's message.
We are going to jump into the Word this morning. I'm going to be in John chapter 15. So if you want to join me there, you're welcome. We'll put some of the stuff on the screen, but primarily we're going to be in this passage of Scripture. Something hit me really strong over the last several weeks. I've had several conversations with people who have hopes and dreams about the future, not just young people. Doesn't matter how old you are, you don't stop dreaming. You don't. Anybody else have, like, you come into a situation and you have an idea. It's an idea about something that in that moment feels like, seems like, doesn't exist in that context. And you go, man, if they would just do X, Y, Z, it'd be awesome. Anybody? Come on, wave at me here. How many, no matter what I do, okay, the people that are waving me, just keep your hands up. Doesn't matter what I ask, no matter what I tell you to do, you're not going to raise your hand. You're not even going to respond. Raise your hand. Okay, yeah, there you go. It's true. It's okay. It's early enough. I as these conversations are going on, though, as I'm realizing, man, the Lord has given people unlimited creative potential. Unlimited. You're made in His image. He is a creator. And so, of course, anytime you come into a situation and you come up with an idea, like, you're going to see ideas, you're going to think through ideas, you're going to have the opportunities be presenting themselves all the time. And those opportunities, they inspire you, they make you feel like, man, if we would just do that, something would take place, and you could see it. Some people see further than others. We've talked about that in the last several weeks. Some people just envision, and they can see how something should turn out. Others see a little shorter distance. It doesn't matter how far you or how short of a distance you see in terms of what's possible or the potential of something. It's this creative flow, and I'll tell you, it is a divine connection with God that causes that in people. Amen. It is the image of God showing up. And preface, every human being on the planet Earth carries that same potential. However, once you meet Jesus and the Holy Spirit begins to work in your heart, something else begins to take place. It's described in John 15. It's where we're going. But it's a secret. And I will tell you, I think This may or may not be brought to you by our sponsors, okay? But I think that because you have the Holy Spirit, you have the single greatest competitive advantage over every person that is surrounding you in the companies you work in the job environments you work in. I think that because the Holy Spirit is with you, and this is Bible, that the Holy Spirit of God, the connectedness with heaven and the uncreated God who is the creator of all things, that connection, the life flow that comes from that, is meant to cause your ideas not just to be ideas, but it is supposed to fuel a process that brings forth on the earth something that came from heaven. And that something is the life of heaven, and it can touch any area of life. It does not matter. It doesn't need to be church. It touches your job. It touches your sales. It touches your family. It touches your marriage. It's incredible what's possible because you are connected to the source. Come on, if you're sitting next to somebody, elbow them and say, that was a good word right there. You should have said amen. I don't know why you didn't say amen to that. This is... to look at John 15. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read a chunk of scripture, and then we're just going to go through it and talk about it. This is the kind of scripture that you read the whole thing, and then afterwards, if you ask questions about it, you'll get the answers wrong. And it's because we combine things that are not meant to be combined, and we sort of miss. We gloss over the stuff we don't understand, and it just takes place. So at least that's what I do. I'm tattling on myself. This is John 15. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Who is the vine? Not a trick question. It's the Sunday school answer. You can just answer this one, I promise. Who is the vine? Jesus. There you go. Every answer that anybody asks in a church setting, the answer is Jesus. Just answer that, you win. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as the branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned up. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy would be full. The end result of this process is that your life should be filled with what? Joy! Heaven's joy, the joy of the Lord, that is a strength, the joy that fills heaven in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. That's a reward. Come on, that's a reward. That is like hearing the punchline, and it's so good on a joke, you can't stop laughing. Have you ever laughed until you cried? Anybody? Okay, has anybody not ever laughed till they cried? Because we need to pray for you. I remember some church environments I've been in where the presence of the Lord would fall in the room and people are ministering and God's sweeping over people and they begin to laugh. Okay, it's happened here at the house several times, actually. Some of you were like little joy bombs. We should just strategically place you because when you sit together, it's a problem. So we should separate you. Right? I've been in some meetings sometimes in the presence of the Lord where the joy of the Lord just begins to hit people and they just can't stop. And the harder they try to stop, the worse it gets. Right? It is like, and the thing is, I've seen, you know, the criticism of that as well where people look from the outside and they go, how can you laugh? It's a serious situation. They're like, you don't understand what that person has been through in their life and what God's doing for them right now. You cannot understand from the outside what's going on in them right now. The Lord's healing them. The Lord's restoring them. The joy of the Lord is strengthening them. They're in their life, they're in hell. And when they touch the presence of the Lord, suddenly the joy of the Lord becomes their strength, and now they can overcome that hell. The joy of the Lord, it is fuel. It is, in other words, we walk through this process that Jesus outlined. something begins to take place in our life that you can walk through the entirety of life, no matter the sorrow, no matter the pain, no matter the difficulty. Because the world will throw hell at you. Can I just say from the beginning, it's not fair. The world doesn't play fair. Those of us desiring to live in a just world, yes, absolutely. That's why you must bear fruit. Because the world doesn't play fair. It's not fair. But the secret to overcoming the world is right here. Jesus laid it out. 11 verses. It's all it took, 11 verses. Just live this and you will have a freaking amazing life. Anybody on board for that? All right, let's take this roller coaster. Here we go. 15 verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine. We already discussed this. It is? Okay, every time I point at you, you just say Jesus and you win, okay? It's like, bingo, yay, you win. Okay, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will bear more fruit. There's two processes taking place. Two processes. They're not the same process. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he does what? He disconnects it from the vine. He takes it away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Pruning is different than taking it away. Pruning is for the sake of fruitfulness. You were doing well, and then God went snip. You went, what? I thought I was winning. But suddenly, I no longer have an opportunity. How is that possible? But you have another opportunity that's been kind of working as well, and the Lord goes, it's because I want you to more succeed in a different area. So you had an idea, and you were like, yeah, I got this idea over there, and the Lord goes, that looks like foliage. It doesn't look like fruit. Oh, man, are we going to have some fun this morning. Okay, two different processes. What are the processes? First, he takes away or he prunes. That's right. Verse 3. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Man, is that a masterful statement. You are already clean. So much of the work of the old covenant, we talked about this last time I was here. So much of the work of the old covenant was about preparation to come into God's presence. It was about making yourself right standing. But Jesus said, I fulfilled the old covenant. I have already made you clean by my word. If you'll stand, if you will believe what I am saying to you, if you'll believe the new covenant, believe the blood, you're already clean. He has made you right standing before God. In other words, the job is not to become some, I don't even know, goody two-shoes, church going nice, clean, cut, whatever. I don't know what your version of a godly person looks like. Godly people don't have piercings. Godly people don't have tattoos. Oh, boy. Godly people, and fill in the blanks. They don't go dancing. They don't play cards. I don't know what your thing is or what you were taught growing up in church, but I will tell you, the work of the new covenant is that he just went ahead and connected you straight to God and through his blood made you righteous. And some would say, well, pastor, we have to war against sin. No, 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 my friend. You have to receive the victory, and as you receive the victory, you will become holy. He has made you right standing, come into his presence and watch him transform your life. Because once you figure out how to bear fruit, you will be so done with the processes that are like broken and cause you pain. It is so easy to let go of things that destroy you when you're like doing something amazing. I'm telling you. God's presence will transform your life. He's already made you clean. So stop with all the energy towards becoming more churchy and take that energy and aim it at bearing fruit. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot, I love that word right there, cannot. Anybody dare to repeat that? Cannot. Okay? That means you can't. See what I did there? Yeah. You cannot bear fruit apart from Jesus. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A branch that does not abide. The word abide means to remain. It means to continue. It's not, I don't know. When I say abide in Jesus, what do we think of? I don't know. We think of extended prayer meetings. There's a whole bunch of religious activity that comes to mind when you abide in Jesus. That's not what it's talking about. It's to continue in the new covenant. It is to remain connected. It's relational. Worship services, 100%, are part of that. We encounter the Lord in amazing ways when we come together. Like Joanna said, like you carry a glory that's on your life. God's presence is on your life. When you come together with other believers and we intentionally look at the Lord, lift him up, that environment gets radically shifted. If people were in this room 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, prayer meeting, right? Just sustaining people encountering the Lord, I'm telling you, when you walk into this room, it would be a different type of room. There's a little seed I'm planting in you. This would be a transformational environment. It already is, but even more so. Why? Because we are choosing to encounter. We're abiding. We're the choice. But abiding goes way beyond a church service. It's into your life. It is, you must remain connected in the Lord. To continue, to remain. I don't know if you've ever faced a choice where you bumped into something and you just knew, if I go left, if I do this thing, I'm choosing to step away from God's presence in order to do this thing. Don't do that. A branch that does not abide cannot bear fruit. The goal is bearing fruit. Look at your neighbor and say, the goal is bearing fruit. Jesus is the vine. Now, for the sake of argument, let me just make a really clarifying statement. Jesus is the vine. He is the vine in which all of creation has come through. He is the Word of God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him, all things have come into being. Everything that has come into being has come through the Word, which is Jesus. He is the vine. He is the vine of creation. He is the vine in which all life has flowed through in order to become. He is the Word. Okay, do not separate Jesus as if in the Trinity this is some separate party. No, no, no. Through creation, Jesus is the vine that which all life has come through. When you think of it like that and you realize, oh, wait a second, from the very beginning, before the new covenant, Jesus has always been the vine. Everything that has come from heaven, all life, all of creation flowed through the vine. And so it's a natural statement to say, if you don't connect to the vine, then you can't bear the fruit of heaven. Because that's where the life flows through. Come on, just imagine it. Vine coming from heaven, reaching into creation, and everything that has life on it, everything that's been sparked into creation came through Christ, through the Word. I'm fixing your theology here. Let's just lock it into place here. Let's make this thing happen. All things flow through him. And then it makes sense. Wait a second. If you disconnect, you cannot. The branch itself, without remaining connected to the vine of life, cannot bear the fruit of heaven on its own. Do you see it? Jesus is Lord of all, always has been. Always has been. We do not possess the power to bear fruit on our own. The life of heaven must flow through your connection to the Lord. The only way is to continue to remain receiving life through the Lord. All of humanity, every person. Now, this one, I want to say it like emphatically, strongly. Please don't take it out of context, but all people, all humanity came from God. The abortion issue, the end of life issue, the sanctity of life, all life has come from God. Should be valued like that. All of humanity, every person, born of God, but into flesh, the life spark, came from God, came from heaven, but must remain connected if it is to bear the fruit of heaven. That's why every humanity, all of humanity has opportunity. We have chance. We have the choice to remain connected. We can remain connected. He's provided a way. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, this is such a strong statement, and it's harsh and it's hard, but it's something that you got to just realize. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch, and it dries up. You see it. It's just the branch didn't bear fruit. It got clipped from the tree. It's sitting there. It dries up. And life ends. And the abiding life of Christ and the connection, no bearing fruit, you can see it. And the consequence of it. I think we see that in people. I think we see that in lives, dreamless lives, people that just disconnect and then they're like no purpose and no life. They just dry up and wither. And like, man, if the life of heaven would breathe on you, everything would change. Maybe you came in here today, you feel like that. Oh, my friend. Life isn't over yet. Receive the new covenant. Let the life of heaven refuel you. Get charged. Watch joy come. Man. That's why the new covenant is so amazing. Sin cuts us off from that life, but Jesus, by fulfilling the requirements of the law, in his blood has cut a new covenant so that the source is connected in spirit. And so we can be directly connected to the source in spirit. That is so mind-boggling. Oh my goodness, I cannot wait to preach on that alone on Easter. Woo! Jesus cut a new covenant in his blood to provide a way for you to be born again from above. Not just born the first time, but born again. Directly connected to the source in spirit. Without Jesus, there is no way to remain connected to God. Eternal separation from God is what happens when we reject the new covenant. This statement that he makes there, he says, he is thrown away as a branch dries up and then cast into the fire. That statement's repeated in the Bible, if you remember that one. That's the kind of statement we don't like to think about or hear. It's referred to in Revelation as the second death, cast into. It's the same phrase, cast into the lake of fire. Eternal separation. Rejection of Christ and the consequences that come with that. It's heavy, I know. It's also the reason why we have to share the hope of Christ for real. To share the hope of Christ. Man, and it is so obvious. When a person is living life and has joy and their life is working and they're bearing fruit, man, when someone on the outside sees that, it is so easy to marvel at that and go, how in the world are you doing that? Doesn't matter the consequences they're facing, the pain they're facing, because life's hard. They're able to thrive through it. What? On the outside, if you're someone who is in anxiety and you're stuck in pain and you're looking through it, your life is drying up. You go, oh my goodness, who is that? You're either attracted to it or repelled by it. It's called the fragrance of heaven. This is why we must share the hope with people. Like, hey, this isn't about becoming religiously perfect. In fact, those kind of people we run from. People who are drying up do not need a group of people around them telling them what's wrong with them. You know, if you would just change, then everything would be better. No, we wouldn't. Look at you. You're basically a dried up, you're a raisin. You're a religious raisin. That's what we should start calling those people. You're a religious raisin. Man, the only way you're going to be revived is someone puts you in some porridge, some oatmeal. I don't know if that sounds like heaven, though. Oatmeal. Whew. Remember the framework. There's two things happening here. Taking away and pruning. Second process is actually the one that I want to hit. I want to remain on it the rest of the time here. This is the one that gives such hope to believers. Your life has great purpose on it. Do you know that? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, Jesus said, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. What? What? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I mean, isn't that the structure of movies? Rub the lamp. Ask whatever you wish. How can that be the How can that be the Lord of all creation saying that to you? Ask whatever you wish. What? How does that fit, Jesus? Look at this statement. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. For my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Did anyone else pick up on this incredible statement and how it doesn't have boundary? Whatever you wish. What is that? Well, what qualifies this? Wait a second. Whatever I wish? Don't I just need to bear fruit towards church? Don't I just need to bear fruit towards religion? Bear fruit towards, missions. Isn't that that's what you mean, Jesus? That's what you mean. I got it. Yes, as long as we're talking about directly about souls or missions or church or religion, that's what you mean. Ask whatever you wish. Like it's within the religious confines, right? No. No, no, no. No, see, the Lord wants you to bear fruit. And that fruit does not have boundary. In fact, it's like a branch that's looking at life and it's wide open and you are connected to heaven and you start to get ideas. The little sparks from heaven of life and opportunity, and it's flowing to you when you look at the world And you go, oh my goodness, there is a void of life in that area of society. That means you can be a plumber for Jesus and bear much fruit. I'm going to push some limits. You can be a lawyer for Jesus and bear much fruit. You laughed at that one. Let's go here. Okay. You can be a politician for Jesus. I don't know if you'll get elected, but woo! And bear much fruit. In other words, you don't have to compromise the life of heaven to choose a career path. In fact, the Lord goes, ask whatever you wish, because my Father is glorified by you bearing fruit. So what is this about? This is about the life of heaven flowing through you and producing the life of heaven in every area of society. Right. He planted you where you are at. And he wants heaven to flow into that circumstance and touch everything. Come on. Nothing is off limits. Man, is that incredible. Come on, just think about that. Nothing is off limits. Why in the world do we pull it back? Y'all, why do we pull that back to church? Why do we pull that back to... It's so strange. The kingdom is meant to touch the whole world. The rule of heaven. Meant to touch the whole world. Now, if you're called, if you feel purpose, if you want to work in church, or you want to work in missions, or you feel just that, I mean, the Lord speaking to you, you're abiding, and that's where life is for you. That's where idea. Praise God. But I will tell you that missions work is not just going to another nation. Missions work is when you go to a context where the kingdom isn't ruling. Right. So your mission field, it's the place you live. It's the place you work. It's your family. It's everywhere Jesus is not. The life of heaven isn't touching, and that's where you're meant to release the life of heaven, the fragrance of heaven. Come on, you are missionaries. Hallelujah. Let me just commission you. Come on, go do it. And do it for the glory of the Father. Jesus makes this incredible statement, but look, just remember what's happening in the context. The Father is taking away things that do not bear fruit, and he's pruning the things that begin to bear fruit so that they will become more fruitful. Jesus removed the separation between the world and the priesthood, the church and the world. He removed it, not me. He said, I'm going to go ahead and make them a kingdom of priests. That means you get to release heaven in whatever area you are as a priest. You are bringing the fragrance of heaven into those places. Whatever you wish. Dream freely. Man, is that a fun thing. Your passions, your desires, your dreams, they're all on the table. And I'll say this way. There is potential for heaven to flow through you into any of your ideas. All of them. The stipulation was this. Jesus made two stipulations. He made two statements of requirement. The first was that you must remain connected to Jesus. So if your idea is self-centered and you don't, it's not a bless me club. Oh, Lord, bless my idea as I do it for myself. No. You must remain connected. That means that you are pulling from the life of Christ into a situation. That means you're talking to the Lord about it. That means you're extending the rule of Jesus through that idea. Through that dream, through that passion, whatever it is. It has to be an extension of his rule. If it's not, it won't be connected. It's the only way to bear fruit. Not religion. I'm talking about connection. All right? That means you don't have to come to your pastor and ask. But you do need to be having open conversations with Jesus about it. And if you're unwilling to do that, then you might want to check your heart. And the second stipulation was this. You must remain connected to the things that God has spoken to you. It's Him and His Word. Those are the two things you have to remain, abide in order to fruit to pour through. As a father, I'll pull my kids aside and I'll talk to them just about life and making decisions, especially about making decisions. Like, how do I make this decision? And I tell them stories. And the stories always are like this, the ones that work out. I also tell them failure stories, okay, because I have a lot of failure stories. Like, hey, you see that? Don't do it like that. Do it like this. But every time, church, look up here for a second. The only times that I have had success, true, authentic, like you see heaven unfolding and it just keeps going. The only time that that's happened is when I am in that connection with the Lord and I'm talking to Him, and when He talks back, I treasure His Word. I value it, and I am holding His Word, the things He said to me about this. I'm holding it, and I'm walking through what He has said. This building exists off a prophetic word. Past generations' dreams coming through another generation, through a word, into reality. Grabbing hold of that, walking through it. Listen, tough at some times, difficult at others, like still in the process, but absolutely holding to the word and walking it out. And as we do that, much fruit, much fruit, much fruit. It's amazing. There's been lots of ideas along the way that we've had to get pruned. Because they were sideways. They were heading in a direction that He wasn't heading. Abiding, holding on to the word. And I'm telling you, He's talked to you about stuff that has nothing to do with church. It's about life. But as you begin to bear fruit, you might find that some of your ideas are off course, or they're just bearing foliage. You know the difference between foliage and fruit? A lot of leaves, the branches are shooting out. It's wonderful. It looks like there's life on it, but there's no fruit on it. See, foliage steals the energy of the vine to produce something that won't be saw through. We have lots of ideas that you're not going to see through. When I mean see through, I mean like you're not going to actually take it to the point of fruitfulness. You just had the idea. You got excited about it. You did something towards it, and then you waited. You didn't do anything about it, and you didn't keep pouring life into it. You just like open-handed, and then what do you think happens if that little branch with some leaves are shooting out there, but it never bears fruit? What happens? Let me ask you a practical question. What happens if my kids say they're going to do something, and they have a grand idea, and they start to do it, and they get halfway through the project, and then they stop, and they just go back and, let's just say, playing video games, or they just disconnect. They got halfway through cleaning the garage. They got halfway through whatever it was. They had a grand idea. Dad, I know what we'll do. We'll start a lawn mowing company. I'm going to mow all the neighbors' lawns. And so they go out and they get contracts for all them jobs. Everybody in the neighborhood's like, they're going to support the local kid. Awesome. Yes, absolutely. And then Saturday rolls around and the kid's in bed, not out there mowing the lawns. What does dad do? Okay? I prune away ideas until something bears fruit. And maybe some of those ideas were just half-baked. So you had the idea, it was grand, but really it's stealing energy from what's real. What's a good father do? You got to have a hard conversation, isn't it? It's just part of being a dad. What do you think your Heavenly Father does? He's a way better dad than you are. Way better father than your father was. Huh. That's a hard one, isn't it? Imagine that you're a branch. You're connected to Jesus and you're hearing his voice. And laying before you is unlimited opportunity. What are you going to do with it? Whatever you ask, God will provide. So you start asking and all these little seedling sprouts start coming off of your life. Oh, I could do that. I could do that. Opportunity. Wow. You start dreaming about the future. You're filled with hope. Lots of different opportunities are possible. This is where people get tripped up. You must remain connected to the Lord and his words in this process. Because he's been talking to you from the beginning. He's been speaking to you about your life. There's purpose attached to it. Divine purpose. Created purpose. Ideas, dreams, aspirations start flowing through you. Hope towards the future. Life through you. This is all part of it. You're taking action on the ideas, the aspirations, the dreams. Opportunities present themselves. Full potential for fruit exists. Nothing is off the table. But I say potential because you must remain in the Lord's words and in his presence for that opportunity to bear fruit. And we don't do that with everything. But there are some things that you are doing that with. And so this is what's hard, is that you will have a moment where something that you liked and you wanted and it was a passion gets clipped away and you suddenly realize that life has passed you by to the point where that is not actually real. Your dream was not actually real. Let me tell you a story about myself here. In 1994, okay? 1994, I'm 13 years old. You can do the math if you want to, it's just fine. I start snowboarding when I'm 13. I was given season passes to Buck Hill by somebody in our church who owned equipment there and was gifted multiple season passes. Every year from when I was 13 on, I got given season passes to the ski hill. Gifted. I never had to pay to go skiing. I started snowboarding when I was 13 years old, before the ski hills let you snowboard. And then Buck Hill opened up one slope. You could go snowboarding there. I began. And it progressed, and you now know it as like this major sport. But when I started, it was us hiking hills on golf courses in order to snowboard. That's how old I am. There you go. This process that's set before us, set before me of I have this dream, and this is what happened. In 1994, it was announced beforehand, but it came to a realization. I was at Buck Hill, and I'm riding the half pipe with my friends. And during the time between 1994 and 1998, something happened. The Olympics began to have trials for snowboarding. And I am snowboarding on the slopes of Buck Hill, and I am practicing. And literally from when I am 13 till I graduate high school, I am there every day it's open, snowboarding, totally committed. This is my winter sport. I'm riding the half pipe. I'm succeeding at this, really succeeding. They're holding contests. I'm competing with professionals and winning. My friends are around me and they have turned pro or they are sponsored riders. And they're saying to me, why aren't you pursuing this like harder? You could just turn this into something. That's what they said. What? I start dreaming about something. I start dreaming towards what? 1998 Olympics. Senior year of high school, I have a radical encounter with Jesus. Radical. Jesus fills my heart, and suddenly I realize calling and purpose like I've never experienced before. And I gotta tell you, the dream of the Olympics just began to dry up. I wasn't trying. I didn't break a leg and you can't. It wasn't like that. It just, the passion just began to wane. And it just began, it was just something fun to enjoy. And I still enjoy it till today. And what's amazing about this is I watched a dream die, but the Lord began to birth it as a means for me to touch my kids. I've taught all my kids how to ski, and we do that as a pastime, and it's bore fruit in our life, but it isn't the fruit that I thought it was going to be. It got transformed. And I know I'm talking to some people because you've had some dreams die, and I want to talk you through something, because there's something so powerful that takes place, and this is where we'll land the plane today. But sometimes pruning requires the death of a dream. Requires the death of a dream. It's dead. It's not yours anymore. Right. Time doesn't exist for it. You have a dream about it. You hope towards it. You had that. And let me ask you a question, though. What if that thing came from above? What if it came from a word? This is what people get tripped up, is that they heard God say, and then they took it as far as they could. They heard God tell them to do something. They did whatever. And they took it as far as they could. And maybe they misinterpreted. Maybe they didn't do things right. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But the seed, the word came from above. And they began to act on it. This is us. But what happens when something God says doesn't work out? It just feels like it died. What was that? It was a seed. And Jesus said concerning seeds that they must fall to the ground if they're going to bear fruit. They have to die so that they can bear fruit. Yeah. I am about to tell you a secret to life. Okay? I'm not kidding. This is a secret to life. This is something that was very costly to learn for me personally. But it leads to joy and peace. I'm going to give it to you for free. You ready? Yep. Here's the last verses. Just as the Father loved me, I loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that your joy could be full. Fruit bearing is where the joy is. You must bear fruit. This initiated in the Garden of Eden. The blessing of the Father flows through bearing fruit. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve, God blessed them and said to them, what? Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Okay? In modern language, do something connected to heaven and it will work. And it will multiply, and it has the potential to touch everyone and everything. That's how heaven works. It wants to touch everyone and everything. Comes from heaven, bears fruit in your life. It's the blessing of the Father. Often, the fruit is what you get to enjoy and the people around you get to enjoy. But what's within the fruit? What's inside of every fruit? Seeds. Do you know what that means? That means there are unfulfilled words in every single promise and result that God gives you. There are unfulfilled words. In other words, he causes you to bear fruit, and it worked. It did something, but it didn't take it all the way that you were dreaming about. And there's other promises attached to it. And what are those promises for? They are for the next generation. Always. If it came from God and the blessing of God is on it, it's meant not just for you. It's meant to multiply. It's always meant for the next generation. Always. That means you're going to have unfulfilled promises, and that's God doing it.
You're going to have dead dreams that came from him, and it was God. It wasn't the devil. Quit blaming the devil. It was God. He went ahead and went, we need to prune that. If it had fruit on it, he made it more fruitful, but there's going to be unfulfilled promises because there's words that must go into the ground so someone else can bear fruit. The blessing is on the fruit, not the foliage. Here's the costly message. This is the secret right here. Tune in. The blessing of the Father, heaven's flow of life, is on the fruit, not on the foliage, not on the structure, not on the system, not on the means of which where the fruit was born. The life and the generational blessing is not on how you do it. Those are the things that are not transferable to the next generation. Moms and dads, how you do something is not what's transferable to your kids. If you try to make them do how you do it, you're going to fight because they know a better way than you. They know an easier way. They know an alternate way. They have their way. And we're wrestling with the how. We're wrestling with the system. We're wrestling with laws. We're fighting for structure. We are contending for structure, not fruit. We're in the wrong battle. The church is in the wrong battle. We're fighting for systems, and we're willing to kill people over systems. No, no, no. Heaven's not even in that. Heaven's in the fruit. What's transferable is the fruit. Blessing flows only through. It's passed on, okay? The blessing of the Father is only passed on through the things that are transferable. Right. Only able to produce in the next generation. If you want joy in your life, focus your energy towards the things that the next generation can steward. Pour your life into the next generation. Equip people in the next generation. Don't just try to succeed yourself. Pour your life out to see other people succeed. This is where fruit is born. That's where joy is. Here's the costly lesson for me. I have, in my lifetime, been so frustrated with the things of how we do things, wanting it to be correct and right, that sometimes I have not focused my energy on seeing others succeed, but rather trying to see my things succeed. When you do that, you cut yourself off from life. Joy exists when you pour out towards others, not when you focus on you. All right. You got this. I got lots more stuff for another day. Listen, I want you to experience such joy in life. You should, you can. There's so much opportunity in our life. When you look out at the world, you can see where life does not exist, where joy does not exist. That's the place to extend towards and do something about. Don't focus on the way we do things. Focus on the next generation. Focus on how to affect and help them. When we stand back and we judge and we're critical, we're talking about the vine. We're not talking about the fruit. And the branch doesn't have any capacity on its own. If we focus on the next generation, wow, we'll watch God do amazing things. There's so much life and joy there, potential there. Don't get caught up in the systems, the processes,
Don't get mad about that stuff. Don't hold to that stuff. Don't focus on that stuff. Focus on the outcome and seeing it produced in the next generation. Pour your life out for them and watch joy come. Just stand to your feet. You got lots of dreams in your life. I know. They'll succeed in part because you remain connected, you followed his word, and if you will just let go, if you will see that the Lord in his word also provides seed for the next generation, that not everything needs to be fulfilled through you. Oh, there's such a freedom there. Just put a hand on your own heart right now. You were born of God. You really were. If you feel far from God today, you just need to know Jesus forgives you. There's mercy, but you have to receive it. You got to receive it. Jesus cut a new covenant in his blood, and he provided a way for you to be connected to the life of heaven so that your life means something. But you got to relinquish control. You got to give your life, receive the blood, believe what he has said. So if you've been far from God today, I just want to pray a prayer right now. I want you to pray with me. If you'd say to me, Pastor Jamie, I want to be connected. I want to remain. Yeah, me too. Pray this prayer with me. And to every voice out loud, just pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus today in this place. I choose to receive the new covenant. I believe Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead and has made a way for me to be connected. Please forgive me of my sin. Wash me. And I invite the Holy Spirit to come into me. Connect me to the source. Friend, your purpose in life is to remain connected, walk in his word, dream about the future, take advantage of every opportunity that you want to. The Lord's in it, but you must bear fruit. You have to see the fruit of heaven come out. Stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. Father, I thank you for each one. And I bless the dreams that have been fulfilled, and I bless the unfulfilled dreams, the seed of the word that has to die and go into the ground so it might be birthed to the next. I bless it. I bless every person in this room that they would be fruitful for your kingdom, they would follow and fulfill the call and the purpose that each one has in you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you would enable the dreaming effect again by your spirit, that they would be unlocked to dream. Even those who would refer to themselves as old men, Lord, they would dream by the spirit. God, I thank you that there would be a connection to the next generation, that you would do what only you can do. So I bless this house. I bless this people in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. If you dare to agree with these things, he said, amen, amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord this morning?
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. It's our hope that God touched your life in a truly meaningful way. And if you were impacted, please let us know by writing a review or share it with friends. If you'd like more information on The House Church, we would love to connect you with our community. Please visit us at ithehouse.org for more information. We'll see you next week.